chain with the chains. Ooh. We on your head like a bang. Bang. All double laws, no range. Rain. Big stain came with a name. Dang. Got all eyes on my game. 100,000 kiss to rain. Rain. Foreign exchange to change. Foreign, foreign exchange to change. Foreign. Run it up, that's it.
Run it up.
Eminem's whole tick. Whole tick. Don't mind if I do it, I get it. I love my brothers, I spit it.
Spit it.
Mind your business, cause I got some they hidden. Chop out the band, I'm just chopping the chicken.
Okay, 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 okay. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 205 of Electrified. I'm your host, Eric Lyons. It's been a minute, a couple weeks, had to get some, handle some business. All right, but we back. Happy May. All right, we're 9 days into it. Man, time is flying, bro. Right? Like, they got the NFL schedule release this Thursday. Yeah, man, like, it's almost that time. The NBA playoffs are moving along. The NHL playoffs are moving along. The MLB season is in full swing. Like, yeah, but all that means is we're closer to the dog days of summer. So I'm going to try to put out as much content as I can this month before we get to June, when things start to slow down after the NBA finals. All right, so, yeah, I'm trying to have a great month like I did in May. I mean, April, because April, man, y'all was listening. Y'all was listening. So I see what we was listening to. I know what y'all want. Yeah, May, we gonna make May good, all right? But got some good things to talk about today. I want to revisit the NBA bubble again, because I've done this before, but I want to go back in time and do it again. All right, we're going to do that. Talk about the NBA playoffs that we're watching right now. This face of boxing thing, I want to discuss that too. It's a couple other things I may or may not touch on, depending on timing and what, you know, how much we've just covered. So let's start off with the NBA bubble, because the revisionist history, and you know, everybody going back and saying what the bubble was, what it wasn't. Oh, it was easy. The fans weren't there. The bubble boys. It was a bubble ring. The Mickey Mouse ring. Fam, I've said it before, I continue to say it. The NBA bubble, that playoff run, that was the hardest championship to win. It was. There was so much going on in the world at that time. So much going on that basketball was not a main priority for a lot of these guys. Let's talk about that. The summer of 2020. Y'all remember that? That was huge. That was a big summer. It was lockdowns. COVID was full blown. And the Black Lives Matter movement was full blown. Right? There were multiple different instances of police brutality displayed on the big stage. And the country was on fire. Hell, the world was on fire. We watched George Floyd get murdered. It's all over our TVs. We watched all of that happen in real time. And with there being no alternative to the news, sports were locked down. There was nothing for us to see. So it was in our face 24/7. It was in our phones. A lot of us weren't at work. So all we had was to scroll and order out, right? Gyms was closed. Malls was closed. Only thing open was the grocery stores and your takeout. There was nothing for us to do. Or maybe you got out there and you protested. But there was so much going on in the world that sports became number two. Understand what I'm saying? And mentally, that took a toll on me. 2020 was a year, man. It was a year. It was. It took a toll on me creatively. I mean, you guys remember, you know, I took months off. You know, I put out an episode. You guys remember, you know, the Black Lives Matter episode I did. Like, fam, that was a wild time. It's a wild time. So when we talk about the bubble, I'm not talking about right now, I'm not talking about the court. I'm talking about everything outside of basketball itself. Like, there was a time, there was a time where the NBA players had a meeting and said, yo, we're not playing. This happened. This actually happened. There was a strike in the name of Jacob Blake. If you don't remember Jacob Blake, he was shot in Kenosha by the police. And it was a Wednesday in August. You know, when the teams were like, fam, we're not doing this. The Bucks, who were scheduled to play the Magic in game 5 of round 1, right before tip off, the Bucks said, yo, we're not coming out. We're not coming out. Magic said, we ain't coming out either. The Rockets and OKC would follow. And then the Lakers and Portland all made the same thing. They said, yo, we're not playing today. The league had no choice but to support. Jason Tatum was quoted, we're more than just basketball players. We're people, and we have these raw emotions and feelings. He also said, how many points you scored and did you win? That shit don't matter right now. Being a black man in America is more important than what I do on the basketball court. Fred VanVleet, at the end of the day, if we're going to sit here and talk about making a change, then at some point we're going to have to put our nuts on the line and actually put something up to lose rather than just money or visibility. These are real quotes that happen in real time. This was a hard time, man. It was a hard time. I'm not talking about basketball right now. I'm talking about the outside forces that were bigger than the game. At the end of the day, these are men. These are people, human beings, who have real feelings, real thoughts, real things. And they're dealing with all of these things. They're dealing with, and these are black men, dealing with what they're seeing in the outside world. Because, you know, they're secluded from everything. They're seeing what's going on out there. And they have to think about that by themselves. Everybody's down there. There's no family down there. You can't sit and talk to your wife and get comfort from her or your kids. They're not there. You're down there by yourself, isolated from the rest of the world. Because you took your time to go down there and you wanted to go play a game. You wanted to go try to win a championship. You sacrificed your own sanity, your family, to go down there and try to win a championship. That's bold, man. That's brave. That's a big move. That's a big move. So when we talk about the bubble and people try to downplay what it was, you can't downplay that, man. These guys were in Orlando, of all places, boxed out from the rest of the world. Y'all think that was a great time? Y'all think they was down there having summer camp? I mean, yeah, we've heard great stories, you know, about, you know, the funny things that went on in the bubble, and we've seen some things, but that it wasn't all peachy. Talk about guys like Paul George, who admitted, you know, he had anxiety in the bubble, and it affected his game. That's real. Didn't make his game easier. We were calling him Pandemic P. Because of how broke the jump shot was looking in the bubble. So for guys like Dame Little, who I honestly don't want to hear a damn thing from. We're going to talk about podcasting NBA players later. But Dame is such a contradicting person when it comes to stuff like this. You can't sit there and say, oh, the bubble was easy, when you went home in the first round. If the bubble was so damn easy, we'd be talking about NBA champion, 2020 NBA champion Damian Lillard right now. But we're not. So obviously it wasn't that easy. It wasn't that easy. Like, fam, y'all was up. We saw you blow the whistle. Like, we saw. We was talking about this in a group message the other day. It was a point where the Blazers was up. And they played blow the whistle. Hold on, we're gonna rock off for a minute.
I go on and on, can't understand how I last so long. I must have superpowers, rap 225,000 hours.
Come on, Short.
Get a calculator, do the math. I made 1,000 songs that made you move,
yeah. Yeah.
For the last 300 months, I made 16 albums with me on the front.
Blow the whistle. Come on.
You get your beats,
that's what Dane was doing. He was blowing the whistle. Like
two singers and 10 comedians, and I'm still gonna yell it every time you see me in. What's my favorite word?
Yeah.
Why they gotta say it like Short?
Come on.
You know they can't play on my court. Can't hang with the big dog, stay on the porch.
Blow the whistle.
Blow the whistle.
Yeah, Dane was dancing. And then it was over. It was over for them. It went downhill. All downhill from there. And but according to him, it was easy. But he got bounced in the first round. It was so easy. like, fam, it blows my mind when we talk about that. The bubble and how y'all try to rewrite history and other players. Like, even Giannis said it's going to be the toughest championship. Like, for him, at the time, this is, he really said this. Like, he actually said this. Come on, fam. And for him to have such a problem with the way that things went in the bubble, it's funny. Because we have you in 4K. In 4K, we have your words. We have what you said about the bubble, family. We have that. You said it's going to be the toughest championship you could win. So if Giannis is saying this in 2020, it had to be true, right? And what happened to Giannis in the first round? I mean, what happened to Giannis in the bubble? He got bounced in five. You know, Miami did that. Understand what I'm saying? That happened in the bubble. And he felt a way about that. We're going to get to that later. But the point I'm trying to make here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the bubble was not sweet. Just because you had guys like TJ Warren and Jamal Murray going nuts. Yeah, sure, TJ Warren, you know, looked crazy in the bubble. But fam, the Pacers got swept. They got swept. Like, they did not have success as a team. TJ Warren did not have success. Like, I just didn't understand why y'all tried to say, like, discredit the Lakers and the Heat for getting to the championship as if those teams weren't good. Like, the Lakers were rolling before everything got shut down. The Heat were a good team. I predicted in 2019 that the Heat and the Lakers would go to the finals before any of this. So, y'all try to say, oh, bubble boy, bubble frauds, the Heat were a bubble team, and then following the bubble, the Heat, let's get one thing clear. Let's talk about post-bubble. Let's talk about that too. Because the Heat and the Lakers had the shortest offseason, had to get right back to work. Injuries. Okay, bad seasons. They both were average, which we all knew would happen. What happened in 2020, the 21 season? Lakers lose to the Suns in six in the first round. What happened to the Heat? They lose to the Bucks in the first round. Get swept. I mean, the Bucks were on cloud nine. They were like, oh, we did it. We did it. We got them. We told you the bubble was a fraud. All right, y'all got it. Then the Heat get a full off season. Four off-season program. What the hell did the Heat do last season, ladies and gentlemen? They were the number one seed. And they weren't just the number one seed headed into the playoffs. They were the number one seed for months. Like, they were running things in the East. Beat the Hawks in five. Took the Sixers out in six. Everybody thought the Sixers were going to do it last year. Then lost to the Celtics in seven games. But could have easily been another championship appearance for the Heat, but apparently Max Strus stepped out. But hey, what do I know? So now you fast forward to now and these playoffs. The Heat take the Bucks out in five. And I don't want to hear a damn thing about Giannis getting hurt. Giannis got hurt, fine. He misses a game or two. One of those games, the Bucks blew the Heat out. But the Heat still handled business. Miami in five. What's happening right now? The Heat are up 3-1 on the Knicks. What is Jimmy Butler doing? Everybody tried to act like what Jimmy did in the bubble was so crazy that it could have only happened in the bubble. Okay, let's go back. In the bubble, in the games, in the playoffs, 21 games, he averaged 22.2, 6.5, and 6.0. So 22 points, 6.5 rebounds, 6 assists. All right, what's Jimmy doing right now in these playoffs? Come on, tell me, please. What is he currently doing in these playoffs? Like, I would love to know that. Let's see. What's Jimmy doing right now? Jimmy right now is averaging 33.5, 6.4 rebounds, and 5.1 assists in the 2023 playoffs. But y'all tried to tell me that, oh, it was the bubble making Jimmy ball like that. Jimmy's a dog. I don't know if y'all understand that. Jimmy is a dog. Then you flip over to the Lakers. Same thing. Short off season. Then they missed the playoffs last year. Injuries on all, you know, they battled injuries. Third and fourth seed. Now they came in, seventh seed in the West in 2020, 11th seed. Then they come in as a seventh seed this year. Get out of the play-in. Beat the Grizzlies in six. And currently up 3-1 on the defending champions. What is there left to say? And this is a retooled Lakers team. This Lakers team is honestly better than the one that was in 2020. Same thing with... I don't know if I can say the same thing about Miami. It's different. Miami is different, but not that much different. I feel like this is a completely different Lakers team. A much younger Lakers team. Way younger Lakers team than he had in 2020. The 2020 Lakers were old men. This team, a lot of youth. The point I'm trying to make here, ladies and gentlemen... You know, the other day they were like, oh, all four bubble teams are currently up 2-1. They're doing this, they're doing that. Yeah, because it does not matter, man. If you can ball, you can ball. It does not matter where it is. It does not matter who's there. There's no fans. If there's 50,000 people, it don't matter. It does not matter. It doesn't. It doesn't. I'm sorry. It does not matter. Like, I understood where people were coming from. Oh, there's no fans. All it is basketball. Okay, well, if anything, that should make the games more better. That should make people play better. Your best players should play better. If that was such an advantage, the Bucks should have beat the Heat in the first round. The Bucks should have won the championship in 2020. If the bubble was so easy, if it was so easy for everybody, the best team should have won. Point blank. The best team should have won. If it was that easy, Giannis should have walked to a finals MVP in 2020. Like, y'all have got to stop, man. Y'all have got to stop. Seriously. Y'all have got to stop. You cannot discredit the Lakers or the Heat for getting to the championship that year when that was by far the hardest championship to get to. It was nothing but ball, bro. On court. Nothing but ball. You had no fans. Nobody there to heckle. Nobody. There was no momentum to feed off of other than you and your team. All y'all had was each other. That's ball right there. And then as far as everything else goes, all the outside forces, I mean, you know, not coming out for the national anthem, the taking the knees, the moments of silence, everything that 2020 was displayed in that bubble. You know, the big meeting they had about if they were even going to, they were just going to give up on the bubble. Like, these were conversations that were had. Understand what I'm saying? Like, the bubble was not peachy, bro. It was not peachy. I just don't understand how you guys can discredit that championship or that entire playoff run. You can't for any team. You just can't, man. You can't. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Yeah, I just wanted to go back and touch on that, man. I did, because I just, I don't know. It just makes me feel, a way, especially as a Heat fan. Yeah, I'm claiming my boys. Because last year, everybody just act like Miami was a fluke one seed. Like, fam, I just didn't get it. I didn't understand where that was coming from. Like, everybody just act, nobody cared that Miami was the one seed until they lost to Boston. Like, nobody cared. Like, they act like that was we were a placeholder or something. Like, they gave us the one seed. And the way Miami looking right now, that series is over. Same thing with LA. That series is over. As far as Miami goes, I don't care who comes out of the Boston and Philly series. I think Miami can beat either of them. As far as the Nuggets and the... who are the Nuggets even playing right now? Oh, the Suns. I don't know about the Lakers. I don't know. I think they have a good shot of beating the Nuggets. I think I do fear for them as far as it goes against the Suns. But I said it a while ago. We're going to get Lakers Heat Part 2. Remember when you heard it first. Lakers Heat Part 2 in June. Remember? All right, so the next thing I want to touch on is, listen, man. I'm not a shut up and dribble type of guy. Like, I'm not about to say I don't want to hear, you know, NBA players have an opinion or say anything. Like, I love, you know, hearing guys at the post game or, you know, when they go on TV and talk. Like, yeah, it's cool, man. Like, it's a great thing. But I don't know who decided to drop podcast equipment in these guys' houses. Maybe they snuck in and put it in the facilities. Or maybe they snuck in and they put it in their locker rooms. I don't know. I don't know where it happened. But I can do without. I can do without. Like, you got, like, you know how professional athletes will get on guys who've never played the game, like, at a professional level. Like, they do that with, like, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. all the time. Like, guys be like, oh, y'all never did this, y'all never did that. Okay, did you go to school for journalism? did you study mass comm at all? Like, have you ever spoken in a public setting before being an athlete, like a pro athlete? Like, have you ever done that before? Because, fam, I don't think I need it. I don't think I need it. Because it's like they don't have any type of filter or any type, anything like that. No filter. Like, no, there's like nothing's off limits for them. That's cool. Like, yeah, I would love the behind the scenes, you know, look at what goes on in your locker room and in real time. Like, that's a cool thing. It's fine. But for Draymond, it's a whole nother level. Like, he's telling us everything that's happening as they're losing. Like, the day after, he's telling us. Like, fam, I don't think Steph would want everybody to know that he came and said, damn, I don't know what to do with LeBron right now. Like, I don't think Steph would want us to know that. I honestly think, and this goes for anybody on social media, we should all know less about each other. Like, honestly, I know so many people's businesses, like, online, that I should know these things, man. But this thing, we shouldn't know this. Why is he telling us these things? Why does Draymond Green feel comfortable telling us about the confusion that's going on his damn sideline? Why is he telling us this? Draymond, you have got to stop oversharing, brother. Please. I just don't know how his teammates would feel about that. Like, I can only imagine how that locker room is after they hear some shit like this.
Three that he missed. Quite frankly, I like that. LeBron is playing a totally different style, a totally different game than we've ever seen him play before. And it's interesting figuring it out. You're not used to seeing LeBron off the ball so much. And so I thought that was interesting and something that we'll have to. LeBron is playing a totally different style, a totally different game than we've ever seen him play before. And it's interesting figuring it out. You're not used to seeing LeBron off the ball so much. And so I thought that was interesting and something that we'll have to adjust to. It's just not your typical LeBron running the show, which is a bit weird.
Okay, so a couple games later, they still haven't adjusted, obviously. But, like, I don't know, man. It's like, you know, with Draymond wanting to not go to one of their games or whatever the case was going to be. Because, you know, he was going to want to go see LeBron break the scoring records. Like, all right, I get it. I know that's your guy. But fam, I don't know. I just don't know how I would feel in a locker room with Draymond Green as we're in a series with the Lakers. Like, I don't know. I just don't know. Then there's another one that he talked about. Where is it? Oh, man. And it's like, it's not just glazing out the team. Like, he also talks about, you know, compliments his guys and what else happens and stuff like that. Like, it's cool, but I just don't know how I would feel as Steph Curry if Draymond went on a podcast, his podcast, and said, yeah, Steph came over to me and said he's confused about what to do with LeBron right now. I don't know. That's just crazy to me. Then you got Paul George has a podcast. I don't think I've ever sat down and said, I wonder what Paul George has to say about this. Like, I just don't think it's necessary. And then I love Trae Young. Love Trae Young. Love him. Great guy. Great player. He has a podcast debuting this summer. I'm not saying I have the greatest voice in the world. I'm not saying that, you know, I talk the best, but I mean, I've been told I have a great voice. I've been told. I don't think anybody has ever told Trae Young, Trae, you have a great voice. You have the voice for this. And this is no disrespect to Trae Young. I just don't think I can sit down and listen to an hour of Trae Young talk about anything. Not even basketball. He just does not have the voice for a microphone. I just don't get it. And you know what, man? I don't know. I feel like the media thing is a thing you do in off season or you do it after you're done playing. It's just strange to me that you got a player who is an integral part of the Warriors just on his own podcast, just analyzing the games. Like, fam, you have a game to get ready for too. I don't know. It's just weird to me. It's strange. And it's like they all have a podcast now. All of these NBA players are popping out with podcasts, and I just don't know why. Like, we don't all need to hear from y'all. I don't need to hear anything Paul George has to say. I'm so sorry. But I just don't, man. I don't. And Draymond is entertaining. Like, I can see Draymond on TNT when he's done. But I don't need to see Draymond as the Lakers are crushing y'all by 30 points. I don't need to see Draymond the next morning talking about, he said this, yeah, the Lakers smacked the Warriors last night. Fam, why? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe y'all like it, but I don't. I'm not a fan of it. They need to take the microphones and the software away. They need to. Like, I don't know. Pat Bev has a podcast. I love Pat Bev. Pat Bev's stuff is kind of entertaining, though. And it's like, Pat Bev is not a star of a team, so it's not weird. He's not in the playoffs right now, so it's like, he got free time. Do your thing. I don't know. It's just how I feel about it. don't know. I could be wrong. I could be doing too much. I could be thinking too much into it. All right. So the next thing I want to touch on is this conversation and this debate that's been had for some time. And it started a couple weekends ago after Gervonta Davis put that work on Ryan Garcia like we all knew he would. All right. I didn't even give you a recap of that fight because we knew that was going to happen. I knew. I don't know if y'all knew, but I knew. All right. It's levels. That's all I can say. It's levels to this boxing thing. But after the fight, there was a conversation between my guy. Damn. Why am I blanking on his name? Jim somebody. My guy Jim. Right. Damn, that's a shame that I can't remember his name off the top of my head. And it's not even like, I love him too. And I don't know why. It said, it's not coming. Jim Gray. God damn, Jim. Jim, I'm sorry. It's a conversation between Jim Gray and Tank after the fight. Here's how it went.
Me, I was looking at him like, trying to tell him like, get up. And then he just shook his head no.
I remember many years ago, we spoke and you spoke to our production group. You said, I've watched Floyd. I watched Canelo. I look at all the tapes of Ray Leonard, Manny Pacquiao, all these guys. I'm going to be the face of boxing. Are you now?
I'm definitely face of boxing. Absolutely.
Thank you.
You know, here's the thing. Here is the thing. So he said that. Then a couple days after, Canelo said, I'm not retired yet, my friend. It's not that easy. I like Gervonta Davis a lot, but he needs to do more to be the face of boxing. One fight with Garcia, and I respect Ryan Garcia, isn't going to do it. This is Canelo Alvarez on feeling who is the face of boxing. I can't disagree with that. I can't. I cannot disagree with that. If you were to sit here and ask me, when you say face of boxing, who's the first person I see? It's Canelo Alvarez. It is. That's not to say that Tank isn't a star. I think Tank is a huge star. But is he the face of the sport? I don't think so. Not yet. But that's also not to say that he's not transcending the sport of boxing. All right? Because a couple weeks ago, they had a super fight. It's Ryan Garcia, Gervonta Davis. And everybody was watching. That fight brought something out of me that I hadn't felt since Mayweather-McGregor. It made the casual fans come. It made the hardcore fans come and watch as well. We all watched. This past Saturday, we had Canelo Alvarez in Guadalajara, Mexico. 168-pound undisputed title against John Wright. He sold out a soccer stadium in Mexico. 50,000 people. It was a spectacle. The fight didn't even trend on Twitter. It didn't make any noise. Not many pay-per-view sales it accounted for? 250K. 250,000 sales. Tank and Garcia did 1.4 million. There is no face of boxing. There is no face of boxing. I'm sorry. There is no face of boxing. Let me tell you why I feel this way. If we're talking numbers, if we're talking strictly numbers, let's just talk numbers right now. All right? Tank had never sniffed a million prior to the Garcia fight. Didn't sniff a million. He did 1.4. Do you know why that is? Because fighters, they don't sell. You can't sell me on a fighter. You can sell me on a fight, though. Damn sure can sell me on a fight. Davis Garcia is a hot ticket. Davis versus whoever the hell he fought in January is not a hot ticket. That's not moving me. That's not moving numbers. I didn't order that fight. I streamed it. I ordered the Tank and Garcia fight. I screamed the Canelo fight. I didn't want to see that fight. That's not the fight I asked for. If he fights David Benavidez in September, I'll order that fight. If he fights Dmitry Bivol in September, I'm streaming that fight. There is no face of boxing. Let me tell you why. Let's look at Canelo Alvarez's biggest draws, right? Okay? You got Canelo versus Cotto. That did 900,000 pay-per-view buys, $58 million in revenue. Canelo versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. 1 million pay-per-view buys, $80 million in revenue. Canelo Golovkin won. 1.3 pay-per-view buys, $110 million in revenue. Canelo Golovkin 2 only did 1.1 million, but generated 10 million more in revenue. We all know the highest of a Canelo fight. His biggest ever is 2.2 million, 150 million in revenue. Who was he fighting? Floyd Mayweather. In 2013. It was 10 years ago. Canelo hasn't touched that in 10 years. So, has Canelo been the money man since Floyd left? Oh, hell yeah, he has. I'm not denying that. Canelo is the man. I call him Mexican Floyd. He's the one with the belts. He's the one that's been moving units in the pay-per-view game as of late. I'm not denying that. But, he hasn't sniffed a million either in some time. Triple G, Canelo 3 didn't do any numbers. Did less than 500,000. Canelo Plant did 800,000. I bought that fight. Canelo Bivol only did 520. What is that telling y'all? If you see that, Canelo Plant, 168 pound undisputed title, 200 feet of fighters. That fight sold. Canelo Bivol did not sell. Davis Romero, 275. 275. Davis Barrios, 200K. Davis Santa Cruz, 225. They're not selling. Tank is a star, but he's not selling. Fam, Logan Paul and Mayweather did a million. A million. And it was an exhibition. What does that tell you? Fights move units. It's not about the fighters anymore. There is no face. There is no face. There is no face. Never will be. You know why? It's only one face of boxing. Only one. It's Floyd Mayweather. I'm sorry. I apologize to Tank. I apologize to Canelo. But the numbers that they've done, Canelo has done over a million multiple times, but not in recent years. Tank had barely sniffed a million up until this fight. But what does that tell you? Once again, fights move units. Floyd Mayweather was moving units. The top five pay-per-view numbers and revenue, four of those slots are held by Floyd Mayweather and somebody else. Five of the top 10 are held by Floyd Mayweather and somebody else. Floyd versus Pacquiao, 4.6 million buys, 410 million in revenue. Floyd versus McGregor, 4.3 million buys, 396 million in revenue. Floyd versus Canelo, 2.2 million pay-per-view buys, 150 million in revenue. Floyd versus De La Hoya, 2.48 million in pay-per-view buys, 136 million in revenue. Then you go down to the nine spot. It's Floyd again. Floyd Cotto, 1.5 million in pay-per-view sales, 94 million in revenue. At the sixth spot is Davis and Garcia, 1.2 million in pay-per-view buys, 102.4 million in revenue. Fights. In today's world of boxing, fights So they move units. Floyd was moving units. But did anybody buy the Floyd and Berto fight? Hell no. He needed somebody else, man. We wanted to see Floyd and Pacquiao. We wanted to see Floyd McGregor. We wanted to see Floyd and Canelo. We wanted to see Floyd and De La Hoya. We wanted to see Floyd and Cotto. These are fights. But Floyd Mayweather was always the A. He was the face of the sport for years. You could not mention boxing without Floyd Mayweather. Nobody cared about the heavyweight division after Mike left. It was Floyd, man. He made boxing for years. You can't tell me I'm wrong. Because I'm not. So when we talk about who's the face of boxing, I can't pick. I can't say there is one. I can say these guys are stars. I can say Canelo and Tank are probably the biggest stars in boxing because Canelo is a big international. He's a star. He has a whole country on his back. Canelo, Tank is a star. He's got the culture with him. He's a star. Canelo has the belts. Canelo has the track record. He's a star. Tank is a star. There aren't many stars in the sports of boxing right now. There are good fighters. There are great fighters. Errol Spence is a great fighter. Is Errol Spence a star to me outside of the sport of boxing? No. No. I think that it takes a certain level of, like, I know that you got Devin Haney and Lomachenko on the 20th. That's going to be a big fight. That's going to have a big fight feel. That's going to make me feel similar to how I felt watching Tank and Garcia. But I didn't feel nothing watching Canelo and Ryder this weekend. I didn't feel a thing. Didn't get me out my seat. Didn't yell. Didn't do anything for me. Fights move people, man. I love Canelo. I love him. I'm looking right at him right now on my wall. I got a painting of him and Floyd on my wall. Y'all know this. But that did not move me this weekend. I need Canelo to go fight Benavidez. I need him to fight somebody that is going to make me say, oh, this is going to be the fight of the year. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I can't really sit here and say so-and-so is the face of boxing. When, like, and I love Tank. I love Tank. I love watching Tank knock people out. But prior to Garcia, it just felt like I didn't feel anything watching the Tank fight. Hometown guy. I would say that since the Leo Santa Cruz knockout, that was the last time Tank made me feel something. But watching him fight like Isaac Cruz and what was it, Hector Garcia last time? I didn't feel nothing watching that. I couldn't get up for that fight because I knew the outcome already. It didn't make me feel like, oh, this is gonna be a good fight. I knew the outcome of the Garcia fight last couple weeks ago, but it was a big fight. It's a big fight feel. That's all I'm saying. I don't think that there's ever been outside of a Floyd, outside of Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali, has there been anybody bigger than the sport? I think Mike Tyson at his peak was bigger than the sport of boxing. Muhammad Ali at his peak was bigger than the sport of boxing. But Floyd Mayweather at his peak, not only was he bigger than the sport of boxing, he was the sport of boxing. Point blank, period. But that's all I got for y'all today, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. I will be back. I'll be back Friday after they release the schedule, the NFL schedule on Thursday. Yeah. I'll be back Friday. So, yeah, I'll talk to y'all Friday, man. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for bearing with me. More content, more episodes coming soon this month. We're going to have a good month. But thank y'all for listening to Electrified for the 200th. And hold on, messed up the outro. We're going to do that again. Thank y'all for listening. And for the 205th time, I'm Eric Lyons, and you have just been Electrified.
Let the man go through. Move aside and let the man go through. Let the man go through.